Now, the Iraqi parliament speaker has called on the U.S. to extend, at least for 3 years, the country's waiver from sanctions on energy imports from Iran. Mohammad al-Habousi made the call during a visit to Washington, where he met senior U.S. politicians, including Vice President Mike Pence. Al-Habousi also warned the U.S. of negative effect of, quote, any hasty, uncalculated step to adopt policies and procedures against countries in the region. Donald Trump's administration has sought to cut off all energy imports from Iran, but has twice granted three-month exemptions to Iraq. Now, last year, Washington's unilaterally pulled out of the 2015 Iran nuclear deal and reimposed sanctions against the Islamic Republic. Joining us now out of Irvine, California, for more on the story is Alexander Azadgan, geopolitical analyst and professor of international political economy. Hello, Professor. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir. Now, your thoughts, it seems like the U.S. just doesn't understand the dire necessity that Iraq has right now for energy.
Thank you for your invitation, Danny. Greetings to your audience. It's always good to be with Press TV. Of course, not much should be expected from Donald Trump. His entire foreign policy is built on hubris, arrogance, sheer ignorance, and a false projection of power, which is a mask for a desperate, corroding empire. So we are stuck with this guy for the next 2 years, and of course he's going to put the pressure on Iraq. One of the achievements, one of the achievements that the U.S. Allowed Iran to benefit from, it was an unintended consequence, was the excellent diplomatic relationship and military cooperation between Iran and Iraq. So, in many sense, Iraq owes a lot to how Iran helped it during those terrible years, 2012 to around 2018-19, when the ISIS forces came very close to Baghdad. So, in that sense, the Iraqis are aware that regional alliances are just as important as extra-regional alliances. According to the U.S. Energy Information Administration's figures, in 2017, Iraq is actually one of the top five countries that exports its oil to United States, next to Canada, Mexico, Saudi Arabia, and Venezuela, which that situation in Venezuela is totally changing as far as their exports to us. So in that sense, Iraq does have some leverage as far as providing oil to Washington, and they are putting that into practice. Let's not forget that other countries asked for exemptions to import Iranian oil. Not too long ago, South Korea was asking for that. India achieved that status, and they need the Iranian oil. You cannot exclude Iran as one of the top exporters of oil around the world with around 2.5 to 3 million barrels a day and expect the oil prices not to skyrocket. So this is another example of a total lack of sane policy with the Trump administration. In the Middle East, in your region, there is a dangerous dialogue deficit and confidence deficit. This, fortunately, doesn't seem to happen between Iran and Iraq. And as I stated, one of the unintended consequences of Washington's aggression against Iraq in 2003 was to actually bring these two countries together, two countries that fought each other bitterly in the 1980s, and now they're close allies, and Iraq is trying to lobby this administration, the Trump administration, to go ahead and give it some kind of an exemption. The addiction to the reckless imposition of sanctions or even threats to use sanctions will not help to resolve this issue. So at some point, hopefully with the next administration, they realize that they're going to have to change this policy, that they're going to have to sit down with the Iranians, have an honest discussion about what's going on, instead of these shooting yourself in the leg because you're directed. I'm referring to the Trump administration, because they are being threatened by regional countries that are playing a very corrosive role, like Saudi Arabia and, I'm afraid, Israel. So at some point, the policymakers in Washington will have to realize that this game that they're playing, and unfortunately, we're going to see a concentrated level of this game in the last, hopefully the last 2 years of the Trump administration. Yeah,
and,
go ahead.
And you know, Professor, you would even think that, you know, Washington would even give Iraq or give Baghdad an exemption from its own dictates after what it's done to the country over the last 20 mm-hmm. years, over a million, you know, Iraqi residents massacred. I mean, a country, a vacuum, you know, resulted in the country as a result of the U.S.-led invasion into that nation, which resulted, you mentioned ISIS and the creation of ISIS. Here's Iran mm-hmm. helped with the eradication of ISIS from Iraqi soil. And you mentioned also, you know, the importance of harnessing important neighborly ties. The two countries, mm-hmm. after a brutal war, you alluded to, finally have those ties in place. You would think that Washington would back off a little bit and say, look, Baghdad, we'll let you think for yourself and do for yourself what we try to do for you. We ruined your country, in essence.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly right. If you recall, not too long ago, it was a U.S. representative, I don't recall his name, who actually brought up a suggestion, an imposition that Iraq has to pay Washington for having protected it in the post-invasion Iraq, which really upset the Iraqis, I mean, to a tremendous level. I mean, this is the level of colonial arrogance we are talking about. They come to your country, they absolutely destroy it, and then they'll charge you for it, and they'll send in their own contractors to rebuild what they have destroyed. This has been a disgusting game that's been going on since the British Empire, actually, and I think Washington is following suit. As far as what you mentioned with ISIS, of course Iran helped Syria and Iraq defeat ISIS, but that's not exactly to the happiness of Washington. Let's just focus on the fact that these terrorists were NATO's terrorists, and at the helm of NATO is, of course, Washington. Maybe not too much with ISIS, because ISIS turned out to be the snake that bit the hand that was feeding it, but definitely al-Nusra, whom Washington, you know, supported along with Israel. We have records of Israeli intelligence chief, you know, more or less admitting that. So the defeat of terrorists, the bringing of stability and some kind of a peace and security in the Middle East, unfortunately, seems to run against what Washington has been planning for your region in order to create, you know, havoc, anarchy, chaos, to steal the oil while everybody is fighting everybody else. So we're not much surprised about that. And of course, they have the arrogance to point their fingers at Iran and say Iran is supporting Hezbollah, which is not a terrorist organization, not according to me or you, but according to the entire foreign policy apparatus of the European Union. So this is a jackal and hyde game they're playing. I'm really hoping that our Iraqi counterparts would stand behind a country, Iran, that supported it in the darkest time. Let's not forget ISIS got as close as between 30 to 50 miles outside of Iraq, outside of Baghdad. This was an existential threat. Let's hope that our Iraqi counterparts would show appreciation and gratitude like they have been doing up to this point, and lobby this administration to not only allow Iraq to send to sell its oil, to purchase Iranian oil, but also to stand up to Washington and her few handful of allies in doing away with some of these draconian sanctions, which Trump has actually been in front of camera boasting. Now, this is the first time not only Washington is breaking international law, but is actually promoting and forcing other countries to break international law. This is unprecedented.
Always a pleasure to get your perspective on the program. Out of Irvine, that was Professor Alexander Azadgan, geopolitical analyst and professor of international political economy.